Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 40 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Is it realistic to think that Planned Parenthood, when providing family planning counseling, doesn't have a vested financial interest in directing women toward abortion?
And that concern is why Senator Max Wise is backing a bill that would prohibit any Kentucky organization that provides abortion services from receiving state funding.
Four people were arrested in an Ashland drug bust.
And burn rules have been announced for the spring fire season.
In sports, Moorhead State's men's basketball team is looking for a fifth win tonight in Nashville.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First up this afternoon, WSAZ is reporting that four persons were arrested during a drug bust in Ashland today. The arrests occurred at a home on Hilton Avenue and were the result of a joint operation by city and state police, as well as other law enforcement agencies. Taken into custody were 39-year-old Christopher Barnett and 49-year-old Roger Burnett, both of Grayson, and 23-year-old Samantha Nelson and 50-year-old Paula Burnett, both of Ashland. Barnett is charged with manufacturing meth and escaping from a penitentiary. Roger Burnett is accused of violating his parole. Nelson is facing charges of driving with a suspended license and receiving stolen property. Paula Burnett is charged with public intoxication. They were all taken to the Boyd County Detention Center.
The Senate Judiciary Committee today approved a bill intended to reduce the number of repeat offenders in Kentucky's criminal justice system and make it easier for people to reenter society after the release from prison. The measure, sponsored by Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield, allows private companies to employ inmates behind prison walls, makes it easier for ex-cons to obtain a professional license, and get help for substance abuse problems. Derek Ramsey is Secretary of the Kentucky Labor Cabinet. He testified for the bill.
It gives these men dignity back. You know, they understand they've done wrong, but there's nothing worse than a beat-down man. Nothing. Because now his kids doesn't look up to him. He looks up to his kids. And so what this does, it gives them a pride that they haven't had for some time.
Public Protection and Justice Cabinet Secretary John Tilley says Kentucky has the highest percentage of children with an incarcerated parent in the country.
Kentucky Supreme Court says a panhandling ordinance in the state's second largest city violated the free speech rights of a man arrested while holding a sign asking for money. In striking down Lexington's ordinance, the court ruled Thursday that the law singled out begging as a type of speech that was subject to criminal prosecution. The court's unanimous ruling came in the case of Dennis Champion, whom police cited for holding a sign asking for money along a busy Lexington street. Champion's attorney said the ordinance singled out beggars, while people standing along roadways soliciting for groups or causes were spared punishment. In his opinion, Chief Justice John D. Minton Jr. said the true beauty of the First Amendment is it treats both Cicero and the vagabond as equals.
The Senate Public Protection Committee today put its stamp of approval on a bill to prohibit state and local funds from being used by Planned Parenthood or any Kentucky organization that provides abortion services. The measure is sponsored by Republican Senator Max Wise of Campbellsville.
Planned Parenthood affiliates have performed 323,653 abortions in the 2013-14 reporting year, and yet they only made 1,880 adoption referrals during that time. Is it realistic to think that Planned Parenthood, when providing family planning counseling, doesn't have a vested financial interest in directing women toward abortion?
Wise says health services provided by Planned Parenthood are available at other clinics that don't support abortion. Senator Dennis Harper Angel is a Democrat from Louisville. She voted against the bill.
During the first week of our session, we passed legislation to mandate an ultrasound prior to an abortion under the guise that women need to be fully informed. And with all the serious issues facing Kentucky, I don't understand why we spend our time just taking away services for the women of Kentucky.
The committee also heard from two physicians who say the bill would further limit health care services to women in a state that already has a shortage of doctors.
A House committee today approved a bill that sets the parameters for the use of unmanned aircraft systems or drones by Kentucky businesses, police, and other first responders and private citizens as well. The measure, sponsored by Republican State Representative Diane St. Ong of Lakeside Park, also establishes penalties for people who violate the law. The bill prohibits drones from carrying lethal payloads, and it allows police to use them after obtaining a search warrant for a particular purpose. Kentucky's Aviation Commissioner Steve Parker says the plan should be good for commerce, too.
This is a very business-friendly bill, and the governor has told us he wants Kentucky to be a leading UAS business state, and we're going out and about to do that. This bill supports that very much. It balances privacy, security, law enforcement, and I think it's a very well-crafted piece of legislation.
Parker testified before the House Small Business and Information Technology Committee.
Kentucky's public schools would have to offer a course about Bible history and require students to pass a civics test before graduating under a pair of proposals that are advancing in the state Senate. The Senate Education Committee voted overwhelmingly to approve Senate Bills 138 and 159 on Thursday. Senate Bill 159 would require students to pass a civics test before graduating. It would be the same test immigrants must pass before becoming U.S. citizens. Senate Bill 138 would require schools to offer an elective social studies course on the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Democratic Senator Robin Webb said the Bible is critical to understanding the culture and history of the United States. The Kentucky Council of Churches and the ACLU opposed the bill, saying it hurts religious freedom.
There have been no reported cases of the flu this winter in the Gateway District Health Department's four-county service area. That's according to Director Bobby Ratliff. However, Ratliff says that situation could turn on a dime because temperatures this winter in the region have been well above normal.
When the weather's more mild, you typically get more activity in individuals. They get out, they go, they do things. And that exposes them to the flu germ. So whether that's the case or not, I couldn't tell you, but just common sense may say, you know, if you get out and you travel more, you're more than likely to touch a doorknob or something that will cause you to get sick.
There have been 378 confirmed cases of the flu across Kentucky this winter. Ratliff says because lab test results are often slow in returning, physicians don't always report possible incidents of the flu. They just treat their patients and send them home. Ratliff recommends frequent hand washing to help avoid contracting the flu. The Gateway District serves Rowan, Menifee, Morgan, and Bath counties.
A new study says 21% of Kentuckians have unstable health insurance. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, a recent Kentucky Health Issues poll reveals that 12% of adults between the ages of 18 and 64 in the state don't have insurance. Another 9% that are insured say they've been without it at some point in the past year. The poll focused on that age group since 97% of people over the age of 65 are insured. Since the Affordable Care Act was implemented, the number of insured adults in Kentucky has been stable. Before the ACA, the percentage of uninsured was as high as 33%. The study also revealed that 45% of Kentuckians have health coverage through their employer, while 13% get their coverage elsewhere. The Kentucky Health Issues poll was conducted by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky and Interact for Health. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Victoria Agee.
Health insurer Humana is leaving the Affordable Care Act's public insurance exchanges for the next year as it regroups after ending its proposed combination with rival insurer Aetna. Humana covers about 150,000 people on exchanges in 11 states. The insurer said Tuesday it had taken several actions to improve that business, but it was still seeing signs of unbalanced risk in that customer population. Health insurers have struggled to attract enough healthy people to their risk pools to balance the claims they incur from people with expensive medical conditions. Humana and Aetna said earlier Tuesday that they were calling off Aetna's roughly $34 billion acquisition of Humana. That deal already had been rejected by a federal judge who was worried about its impact on competition.
Students at Morehead State University are gearing up to send a biology experiment to the International Space Station. MSU's Kraft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics is partnering with Space Tango and the Department of Biology and Chemistry to study the contraction of smooth muscle cells in a microgravity environment. Danielle Gibson is a Kraft Academy student working with MSU professors on the project. She says smooth muscle cells line arteries, and its research can have many applications.
we're able to take our research and apply it further, whether it's Kentucky or the nation, and just we're applying this research to health issues, and we're thinking on if we find out something, how can we apply this through maybe health initiatives or anything else with our senators and representatives.
After the experiment launches this Saturday, students will be able to observe a real-time video feed of smooth muscle cells aboard the ISS. They hope to learn more about the contractile processes in those cells and potentially how to manipulate them, which they hope will lead to preventative medical treatments.
A mild winter is allowing construction crews to move full speed ahead with the $49 million renovation and expansion of Morehead State's Adrian Doran University Center. According to Rick Linio, MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management, all of the demolition work to completely gut the building has already been completed.
In the interior, they're setting up, they're putting up the framing for the different offices, and you can start seeing how things are going to shape up, where the food service areas are going to be, and So it's coming along real well. Very pleased on their progress.
After the interior work is done, the outside of the Doran University Center will be rebricked. Construction on the facility's 90,000-square-foot addition is also underway. The foundation has been poured, and its support columns are being installed. The facility is expected to be ready for use again in the summer of 2018.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent says building a dog park will be important for Morehead. City Council approved the project this week. The 100-by-100-feet facility will be constructed this spring in a wooded area behind the basketball courts at the Green Hill City Park. It will include separate, fenced-in spaces for large and small dogs. Trent believes the new dog park could become an economic development bargaining tool for the town.
It adds to our livability. When people look to relocate here, they say, okay, what do you have? Well, recreation-wise, we've got 48 trails at the lake. We've got three or four in town. We've got ball fields, we've got parks, we've got green space. Hey, we've got a dog park. And so those are things that just add to the list.
Members of the Morehead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce Leadership Academy will oversee the building of Morehead's new dog park.
Ashland City Commissioners have voted to freeze trash collection rates for this year. The city's waste disposal ordinance calls for an automatic annual increase tied to the Consumer Price Index. However, commissioners have approved an ordinance to keep the current fees. Steve Gilmore is mayor of Ashland.
This commission is committed to reducing everywhere we can, when we can. And I'm sure there are areas that we're not going to be able to reduce and may have to raise some things here and there incrementally, nothing big. But the truth of it is, our finances looked at it, and they feel good that we don't need to raise it. We're fine.
Gilmore is unsure about how much money the city will not collect as a result of maintaining the current rates. However, he says it's not a large amount.
Numerous studies show that black kids face harsher treatment than white kids do, something a Kentucky senator wants answers about so the state can reduce the disparities. Kentucky News Network's Susan Duvall has details.
Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield has filed a bill he says will collect consistent data on age, gender, and race from places young people come into contact with, schools, law enforcement, courts, and social services.
I don't think anybody can say that it's a school thing, a law enforcement thing, a social worker thing. We don't know, but we know that more kids than ought be in there are in there. So yes, we know that it's there.
Westerfield chairs the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
A mortgage-free home is available in Louisville for a military family who is transitioning out of the military or transferring to this area. Operation Homefront is the name of the program. Jason Moody is with the Operation Homefront. He says it's a great way to give back.
It's the American dream of home ownership, and this is a way to give back to those that serve. We have placed nearly 600 military families nationwide, and last year we deeded 121, and we placed 85 military families in homes.
Moody notes the ranch-style 1,400-square-foot, one-story home features three bedrooms and two bathrooms. To learn more information or to apply for a home, visit homesonthehomefront.org.
The spring forest fire season began on Wednesday and will last until the end of April. WYMT reports forest fires burned thousands of acres in eastern Kentucky last year. Officials with the Kentucky Division of Forestry says it's important to follow all burning rules. As of yesterday, you can no longer burn between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. You also can't be within 150 feet of woodland or brushland. The division adds there are currently no complete burn bans, but that could change at any point until the end of April. If you have any questions about whether or not you can burn, call your local Kentucky Division of Forestry office. Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s in the valleys and in the upper 30s on the ridges. Friday, warmer, sunny, highs in the lower 60s. Friday night, mostly clear, lows in the lower 40s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the lower 30s, chance of rain 40%. Saturday night, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Looking at the temperatures of listening area, Ashland, 40 degrees, Flemingsburg, 40 degrees, Inez, 40 degrees, Lexington, 49 degrees, Winchester, 46 degrees, and Moorhead, 46 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You are tuned into Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, advocates are standing up for refugees in Kentucky by spreading a message to state senators and representatives. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
As President Trump attempts to revamp his controversial immigration ban, advocates for refugees and immigrants in Kentucky are taking their message to state leaders. Keep the welcome mat out. Kentucky resettles more than twice the national annual average of refugees. Maria Kerner with the Kentucky Office for Refugees says at the state capitol, refugees who have resettled in the Bluegrass State are being introduced to their senators and representatives.
I think a lot of times you can dispel misconceptions by just meeting someone face-to-face that's different than you, especially in the climate we're in right now and all the rhetoric and the narratives they're playing out in the news.
Kerner says the fourth annual Refugee and Immigrant Day is a way to educate lawmakers about the state's resettlement programs, as well as brief them on the security screening and vetting that takes place. In the past year, resettlement agencies in Kentucky have served nearly 4,700 newcomers. Two of the top five countries of origin, Somalia and Syria, were on Trump's travel ban list. Anna Bauman with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says research shows refugee communities tend to do well once resettled, with Kentucky meeting the goal of averaging employment within 120 days.
They send their kids to school, they get jobs, they pay taxes, they get involved in a faith community, they volunteer, they are our neighbors.
Bauman cites a report from the Center for American Progress, which shows that 11% of Syrian immigrants own businesses, compared with 3% of native-born residents. Yet, as America wrestles with immigration, Kerner says those in the crosshairs are wondering, are they welcome here, and could they be deported?
People are worried about if they'll be reunited with their family members, because a big part of the refugee resettlement program is family reunification. Because of the situations they're escaping, you know, wars and persecution, families are often separated.
During their day at the State House, the advocates will deliver an online petition with thousands of signatures to the House and Senate, which asks the elected leaders to keep Kentucky welcoming. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
Time is 4:48. This is Mountain Edition. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for All Things Considered. Braxton Howard has sports in just a few moments.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State Basketball Eagles will shoot for their fifth straight win tonight at 9 in Nashville as they take on Tennessee State in OVC action. MSU held off State 87-85 last month at Johnson Arena thanks to a late basket by senior forward Rashad Williams. Williams believes the Eagles will have another close, bruising battle with the Tigers.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's always tough, especially going to their hometown. It's very tough, and they're a very, very physical team. So as long as we just match their physicality and do what we've been doing, we should be fine.
Morehead's winning streak has boosted interim coach Preston Spradlin's team to 13-12 overall and to 9-3 in the OVC. Tennessee State is 15-11, but just 6-7 in conference. Tonight's game can be seen on ESPNU. After picking up a win last night at home over Tennessee State 87-74, the Morehead State women's basketball team is now preparing for a matchup with Belmont in Nashville this weekend. In second place in the OVC behind Belmont, MSU head coach Greg Todd gives credit to his team's defense for the successful season up to this point.
A trademark of our, I think, of our team is our defense, and some teams were able to get more out of our full court pressure than others, and very pleased to get our ninth win in conference play and our 19th win during the season.
The Eagles are now at 19-7 overall and 9-4 in the OVC. Belmont is 22-5 on the year and a perfect 14-0 in conference play. The Ohio Valley Conference announced today the 2018 OVC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament will be held at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana. The tournament has been held in Nashville 23 of the past 24 years, with the exception being in Louisville in 2002. During the 2017-18 academic year, the OVC Board of Presidents will consider future tournament locations. The 13th-ranked Kentucky basketball team travels to Georgia this weekend, coming off of an 83-58 win over Tennessee at Rupp Arena Tuesday night, giving the Cats their third win in a row. Head coach John Calipari seems pleased with the progress his team has made, but notes they still have a ways to go.
You can't try to cure everything. You're going one thing, let's get this right, let's get this right. What I'm encouraged about is down the line where this team should be here in a couple more weeks.
At 21-5 on the year and 11-2 in the SEC, Kentucky is in a tie for first place in the conference with Florida. With former Round County star athlete Justin Graham still at UK Hospital battling leukemia, a member of the Kentucky basketball team is supporting him. Derek Willis says after visiting Graham at the hospital, he is now honoring him during games.
Me and my girlfriend went over there and spent some time hung out with him for a little bit. And, got to know his family. Probably the most respectful family I've probably ever met in my life. Just a good kid, and something unfortunate happens to him, and just got a lot of support around him. Just wish him the best, and I feel like I wanted to raise some kind of awareness for him with writing hashtag for Justin on my shoes.
After one round of chemo, Graham is now in remission, according to his family. According to ESPN, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari will coach the under-19 USA basketball team this summer in Egypt. The team is made up of college freshmen and high school seniors. Arizona head coach Sean Miller coached the under-19 team in 2015. According to Jeff Goodman, North Carolina State has fired head coach Mark Gottfried. NC State was blown out by North Carolina 97-73 on Tuesday, dropping them to 14-13 overall and 3-11 in ACC play. Coming off of Tuesday's 91-69 home loss to Greenup County, the Round County boys basketball team is now focusing on their matchup with Cordia on Friday. Tuesday's 22-point loss was Round's worst loss since 2012, and head coach Sean Thacker says those types of losses won't become the norm.
That's not typical in any way. They're probably not a good measuring stick. If we were to see them in a regional tournament, possibly, I don't think it'll be like that. It'll be a good ball game, but I don't believe it won't be like that.
As for the Round girls, they visit the 16th region's top team, Boyd County, tomorrow. The Morehead State baseball team opens the 2017 season tomorrow by kicking off a five-game stint in Mississippi. The Eagles play Jacksonville at 5 p.m. in Jackson. MSU coach Mike McGuire says this early in the season, he will be using a lot of different pitchers over the next few days.
Obviously, it's a time of the year where pitch counts aren't as expanded as far as they'll be later on in the season. So, you know, we're going to be careful with our arms especially and not, override somebody early. But that's going to offer opportunity to get some other guys' feet wet.
During their trip south, MSU will face Jacksonville and Jackson State each twice before facing Mississippi State on Tuesday. Finally, in sports, another weekend tournament on the road starts Friday for the Morehead State softball team. They will be at Southeast Louisiana for five contests, starting with Buffalo tomorrow afternoon at 4. After watching his Eagles go 2-2 last weekend at Kennesaw State, Coach David Williams wants to see more consistent play from his group.
We've got to establish that consistency. That's key. But definitely we could see the potential we had pitching, hitting, and defensively. We could see all the potential that we have in all those areas. And hopefully, we can roll it all together into one game like we did in that game against Kennesaw State that we won, and we can start playing like that on a daily basis.
The MSU softball team will also play Middle Tennessee, Alcorn State, Texas Arlington, and Southeast Louisiana this weekend. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The next home game for men's basketball is Thursday, February 23rd, when they host Tennessee Tech for a 9 o'clock p.m. tip-off for broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower, taking a breather after posting recent records. And as a matter of fact, the three major indices have set records for five straight days coming into today. Energy was in particular particularly weak today. And at the close of the Dow, industrials itself managed a small gain of 7.91 to finish at 20,619.77. So this is yet again another all-time closing high for the Dow Jones. The S&P 500 was down 2.03 at 2347.22. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 4.54 at 5814.9. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Economic data continued to come in strong, with weekly jobless claims holding around their lowest levels in more than 40 years, while the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Manufacturing Index hit its highest level since January 1984. In earnings news, Wendy's plunged over 4% when the company said 2017 same-store sales growth would be below previous expectations. Overseas, European stocks declined, with the Pan-European Stock 600 index sliding about 0.3%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 fell about 0.5%, while the Shanghai Composite advanced about 0.5%. U.S. Treasury bond prices rose, with the benchmark 10-year yield falling to 2.45%, and the short-term 2-year note yield holding around 1.21%. In the crude markets, crude oil was actually about unchanged today, and in the commodities markets, gold was up almost 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Cisco and Coca-Cola. The worst performers were Chevron and Exxon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Stericycle and International Flavors and Fragrances, and the worst performers were TripAdvisor and Range Resources. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 5 cents at 120.83, CSX up 35 cents at 47.69, AEP up 40 cents at 63.69, AK Steel up 26 cents at 8.74, Marathon Petroleum down 69 cents at 49.95, and Anthem was up $1.09 to finish at 163.78. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s in the valleys and in the upper 30s on the ridges. Friday, warmer, sunny, highs in the lower 60s. Friday night, mostly clear, lows in the lower 40s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s, chance of rain 40%. Saturday night, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 60s. Sunday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-40s. Washington's birthday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Monday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 40s. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Tuesday night, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, lows in the lower 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, highs in the mid-60s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, lows in the upper 40s, and it is 40 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Victoria Agee, from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer, and from the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.